Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Hey, it is Dom time. Welcome in. I got a lot of stuff today about Doge, about federal workers. Are we being too hard on them? Brian Kilmeade, who I many times agree with, we're still trying to get back on. Today on Fox and Friends says he thinks what's happening at Republican town halls is real. I don't. What's happening is you're seeing these people at some of these Republican congressmen's and women town halls go after them over they don't like the Doge cuts. They don't like what's happening with federal workers. I think by and large, those are not real. I'll play in what Brian Kilmeade says. Are they real? And a broader question. Are we being just right, just about right on federal workers? Are we being too kind? I don't think anyone's going to say that. Are we being just a hair over the top? That call we had of a guy yesterday whose wife and sons, I think it was, work for the IRS, it might be out, was very moving, got a lot of response off the air. But I want to start with the arrogance. And they think they'll get away with this because, you know, it's going to take a lot to push back on this. President Trump told the Maine governor they're going to go after them. I would take every lawyer, everything I have. You're going to have to make an example of one of these groups defying executive orders, which are the law. Now, they're not the law that another president can't change it by executive order. But you know that executive orders are the law. How many times do we have to go through this? Well, the New Jersey Interscholastic Athletic Association said they're not going to change their ruling. Here's what the ruling says. They think they're being clever to reassure us. They say you can't participate in a boys' sport and then jump and say you're gender fluid and participate in a girls' sport, say in the spring after the fall. But you can say, I'm a girl. You could be 6'8", you could be 300 pounds. I'm a girl. I'm gender fluid. I'm not even gender fluid. I'm just telling you that's what I identify with. I identify with girls, so I want to run over top of other females. And New Jersey, now we've been through this for a number of years, says you can participate in the girls as long as you do it before the tryouts start and you don't have to show biological sex. There's no test. You say you're a female. You, my friend in Jersey, are a female. And they say they're not going to change, despite what Trump said. Now, this means all hands on deck on this issue, and I think America would support it. They have to have it put to them. Every one of these states, Maine, Jersey, any number of them. But no, listen to this. This is from Libs of TikTok. Listen to this female math teacher Henry, put her on your list here. Since list is a side question, I'd like to get on. I know the odds might be long. She's a math teacher, and she's the union president of a school district, or a school, high school, I think this is, in Monmouth County, in Jersey. And Monmouth County is relatively conservative for New Jersey. So she takes to either YouTube or somehow or another, some social media platform, and puts up this lecture of what she'd like to say to moms who are concerned about their girls having to participate against boys slash men. Listen to the Union Presidente math teacher.
Your student athlete policy that's been around for 16 years. They want to go cry about it, but yet wear the snowflakes. Sure. I'm talking about NJSIAA, which is the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association, who announced this week that they will be making no changes to their current transgender student athlete policy until MAGA got involved, until people like Moms for Liberty and Libs of TikTok got involved. So these people need to stop with the fake moral outrage, because you weren't upset about it back in 2009. You weren't upset about it back in 2017. You're only upset about it now. Also, just so you know, I do not follow Libs of TikTok and I'm not on Twitter. I actually saw this screenshot in a right-wing parent group I belong to on Facebook, because you always got to know what the opposition's up to, and they will never know I'm in there.
All right, then. Come on, baby. Come on here. We want to know what you're up to. So we weren't fierce enough about this before. And why is there such outrage on this? You know what? Part of it, it gets you crazy. This election settled it. Part of me always tells you this, though. This is 80-20 and growing on the 80 side. They're going to keep at it, though. They will not relent on this. Now, Trump's got to stick to his word, though. He's got to turn the full force of the federal government against that governor in Maine. This will go through courts and all. All the way up to and including the Supreme Court. Is this the law of the land or not? It's an executive order. It is the law of the land. Now, they can challenge it on constitutional grounds, but I don't see how it's unconstitutional. And New Jersey, defiantly, they're even worse than Pennsylvania. I mean, they say, as long as you decide what sex you are prior to the tryout season, you tell them, hey, I'm participating in girls. And you heard this Union Presidente. We'll take your calls right away, of course, as always, 855-839-1210. This Union Presidente math teacher calling us out, saying, why are you so concerned with this? Why do you want to die on this hill, I would ask, and defend all this? I'll admit, part of my concern is, in addition to how ridiculous this is, that it's a killer. We know that it kills you. You know you have such a vocal minority punishing you if you don't stand for this. We're not going to let you get away with it. You're not going to move on from this until you stop this. It's a pretty simple thing. That's why the Trump people spent $40 million advertising this. They knew, and they were right. And it's an issue that takes people that might be apolitical. And when they hear one party will not get off this, continues to defend it, they go, that's it. Nope, that's not for me. All right, 855-839-1210. All right, the other thing, Brian Kilmeade. This morning, this will be 22. He was scheduled to be on yesterday. Not sure what happened yet. We're sorting it out. Hopefully, we'll get him back this week. He believes what's happening at these town hall for Republicans. You've seen some of this, right? We may have played some of it. People shouting at them. They're upset. They're claiming to be Trump supporters, but they're saying they don't like Doge. They don't like what's going on. Well, the polling doesn't indicate that. My gut instinct doesn't indicate that. I'm sure there might be some people there who some relative or they lost a job that's in the federal government. But by and large, I think these are AstroTurf. I think these are people going there trying to scare these Republicans into saying we better stop going after the federal budget and going after too many federal workers. Now, we had a guy call in yesterday, Ralph. And, you know, to say that all federal workers are just arrogant and non-productive, that's not fair. Not true. But to talk about the arrogance of the federal worker, By the way, there's a new spin. Brendan Boyle, the congressman from Northeast Philadelphia, who really doesn't represent the values there. He was at Independence Hall yesterday. I'll play it for you. And Brendan Boyle was saying these are not federal jobs. These are not Washington jobs. This genius says, well, these jobs are located in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. Who pays them, though? The federal government. Who pays the federal government? We do. I mean, so he's claiming these are Philadelphia, Pennsylvania jobs because they're located here. They're federal jobs. That's what's going on here. All right, here's Kilmeade. Does Kilmeade make this point? If you've seen these events, are we to believe they're real people going after these Congress people? Here's what he said.
And almost every agency wants him, them to come in. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and gut Treasury. Because you know what helps? Because cabinet secretary's got certain responsibilities and a president's got to get elected and people. But when you have someone from the outside come in and make some tough cuts, you could say, I don't have my hands in that. The blowback they're getting in some of these town halls is real. I'm sure there's some people in there that voted for Trump and said, I walked into work and I lost my job. But that's going to be one of the casualties of having to take a $2.7 million federal workforce and knock it down to maybe half of that. Mm-hmm. So I think we got a heads up on it. As I think the president would do himself a favor, and the Treasury Secretary especially, just saying, hey, We have a $7 trillion budget. We only make $5.9 trillion. The revenue gap is $2 trillion. This is part of closing that gap, mm-hmm. That's right. Is lessening the responsibility. It's not punitive.
All right. Good advice in the end, but is this real? Are that number of people disheartened that are Trump supporters showing up at these Republican congressmen? Now, the one congressman the other day, look, this is tough stuff. You're having a town hall. And you may say, I'm way off on this, and I'll tell you, you're wrong. He says, well, God has a plan for you. Wait a minute, buddy. You just got fired from the job. Now, don't give me the God has a plan for you stuff. I'm sorry. If you believe that, that's fine. But telling a person who may have been a good worker, may have been whatever, the shock they are, that this has impacted them, God has a plan for you. You have a job. You can't do that. What kind of living in the bubble moron? If that's what you would say to a person, I'd ask you to reassess it. You may believe that. You may think, well, that's a fine religious statement, Dom. It's true. That's not what I'm telling a person who's just lost their job. Particularly, they may be somebody who had nothing to do with any of this nonsense that we see that's going on. Kayleigh McEnany broke it down into three pots on that outnumbered show. Those that are doing a good job, not part of this. Those that are the resistance, actively trying to stop Trump. And those who are hitting the clock and getting paid, but they're not doing anything, at best. So there's a whole assortment of people in this. And since it's happening so quickly, it's hard to sort this out. So 855-839-1210. Let me give you the side question. Are these real? I don't think they are. I don't think there are that many people that have been affected by it that are Trump supporters that are showing up at these town halls and voicing this dissent. I think it's more organized. There are some. We heard Ralph yesterday, and he wasn't attacking Trump. He was just upset about it. I didn't think he was a seminar caller or anything else. There are some people who are going to get swept up in this. We know that. And telling them it's God's plan. No, buddy, no. I just can't stand stuff like that. You got to try to help people, maybe find something else, point out something else like that. But you're just going along, and then suddenly this turmoil because of how bad the federal government, the deficit is. You can't just say it's God's plan. No. How about it's playing for you then? Maybe you ought to lose your job. All right, side question. We are waiting for Pam Bondi to give us the list. She has the P. Diddy list, and she has the Epstein list. They're both on her desk, particularly the Epstein list. She told us, I'd love to see that desk. It's under armed guard 24 hours. No, they don't even let them in the room. They guard outside it. So we want to know a list. Give us your all-time list. Let me illustrate. Never done this before. 10 Commandments. That's a big list.
Mm-hmm.
The Bill of Rights, something about tens. That is a great list, too. but you can hit any angle that you want of a list. Something that qualifies as a list. Henry, yours.
Yeah, so let me take two off the board real quick. How about Santa's list?
There you go.
Two that sides of the list bigger, for right, there. Yeah. Naughty or nice?
Exactly.
Which one are you?
Right.
Always got to act good all year, so you stay on that nice side. And then the other one I'll take, since it's the season soon, how about an NFL mock draft? That's a list
good.
Of which they project the NFL players will be
right.
taken in this year's draft. So combine right around the corner, draft in April. Yeah,
right.
Figured might as well throw that on there.
Well, it's a combine this week. It's a bunch of fat guys running a 40-yard dash.
Yeah.
And because football is so popular, everybody watches it.
It's crazy, right? Like, it's a 40-yard dash. Like, what are we doing? We watch the cone drill, three-cone drill?
Exactly.
Ugh.
All right, so 855-839-1210. By the way, the NFL, the cowardice of the Green Bay Packers leading the charge to stop the tush push.
Of course it's them.
They can't stop it. Most teams can't stop it. It's unique what the Eagles have going for it. This would be, you know, they'll come up with a phony injury thing. There doesn't seem to be any more injury on this than plays like, you know, you've seen a football play where the guy stopped, but his linemen are pushing him more for extra yards, and suddenly guys come firing in from all directions at full speed. Now, that's dangerous. Are they going to ban that, too? And if they ban the tush push, I don't care how you, it will hurt the Eagles psychologically. When they start, it's not first and 10, it's first and 8.5, maybe. Because they know if it comes down to that, it's a sure thing. So why in the world would a league do it? Well, they would do it because they're socialist. Always remember that. The NFL wants one thing, parity. They don't want someone to dominate. And the Eagles are dominant now. You take that away, maybe they won't be so dominant. Now, it would hurt them. Big advantage for them. Well earned. Genius coming up with it. Other teams, try it. They can't do it. Well, they don't have Jalen Hurts. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have an offensive line like that. There's a million reasons. But if the NFL takes it away, it just shows you what they're about. They want parity above all else. Now, to me, that's socialism. I know we've been through this many times. Parity socialism.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
They can't get rid of it either because it's for one reason you hit that, you know, that extra push that linemen give to the running back or the receiver trying to get him in the end zone.
Yeah.
They haven't called that for years, even though it's against the rules technically.
And more dangerous.
Yeah, and more dangerous. So if they're not going to call that, then they're never going to call this. So let's just leave
okay.
That.
We'll see. All right. 855-839-1210. I think those parity demons are theirs. The Eagles are too good now. AT&T and Verizon Wireless hit us with a list. Ten Commandments, Bill of Rights, Santa's list. Maybe one you make up. Maybe it's a little bit esoteric outside the box. Hit us with a list. Elizabeth Taylor's, what was it? Seven husbands. There you go. There's a wild one. I think it was seven. Can you imagine the sixth guy and on deck the seventh guy? What the heck? I'll marry her. Come on.
It'll work for me.
This won't work for me. Yeah, don't you? And the shelf life of some of them is like a year under. All right, 855-839-1210. Jump on board on Talk Radio 1210.
Okay. I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it is Dom time. Welcome in, 855-839-1210. List today. We've never done this before, side question. We're talking P. Diddy list, the Epstein list. Give us a list. There are a lot of them. I see some good ones up there already. All right, so the federal worker is the thing here that's being debated. And again, I don't agree with Kilmeade on this, that these are mainly Trump people that are jumping in here. Here's a little bit. Let's see which one's better to give you a good idea here where we are. Oh, yeah. Here is, this is cut 13A, Henry. Here's Brendan Boyle. This is the latest tactic now. Brendan Boyle, the congressman from Northeast Philadelphia, and the usual union types for the federal workers show up in Independence Hall. And you'll hear them making this claim all over the country. These are not federal jobs. Well, the federal government, and we the taxpayers, we're the ones that pay them. But because the office is located in Philadelphia or in Pennsylvania, these are local jobs, they're telling you. Here's Brendan Boyle.
Federal jobs. These are Pennsylvania jobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are Philadelphia jobs. That is what is at stake.
In Old City, a rally to support federal workers at a time of uncertainty.
We are very apprehensive. People are shaking in their boots. They don't know whether to take that resign issue. They don't know whether to retire, or they don't know whether to run.
All right. Now, the rhetoric on the other side. Look, there are some people who are caught up in this who really, I don't think, should be fired. I don't know if you agree with that. You think we're going to fire the entire federal workforce? Okay. Here's a Virginia delegate, the Virginia House of Representatives. He invokes, and he's not apologized for it, even though he's under quite a bit of fire. He invokes the Holocaust to talk about these federal workers being fired. Cut 14.
So many different people on social media rather excited about these cuts, rather excited about these job losses. And that reminds me of a quote from a long time ago that said, at first they came for the Jews and I didn't speak up because I wasn't Jewish. Then they came for the trade unionists and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. And then when they came for me, there was no one to speak up because everyone had been taken. And so I think what's very interesting is that these job cuts and these cuts are not just impacting people with federal jobs, but all across the board, people are going to be feeling the hurt. And we have to make sure we're doing what we can within the power that we have to do that. And I also think, Mr. Chair, I heard my venerable colleague from Virginia Beach say that she would love to hear from CEOs and different people who are offering jobs. I think that's key. But I think we also need to hear from these people who are going to be impacted.
All right. Is America being impacted by this? Is that what we're seeing? I don't see it. You know, we heard a guy yesterday. You see some of these town halls. I don't see it. But the offensive part, comparing some of these lackluster, we're being kind, federal workers, redundant jobs, outrageous, you can't fire us. That's always been the attitude, right? To people being taken away in the Holocaust and telling us we're next after these, they're like the Jews. Who writes this guy stuff? Well, he has the most federal employees of any district, apparently, in the country. That's what's on his mind. These are being led to the concentration camps as we see this. Now, I would leaven that, though, with the fact that some people go overboard. They just want to beat up on all these people that are federal workers. That's not fair. That's not where we are. You know, it was based upon the caller we heard yesterday. I'm going to replay that again. It was very emotional. And I understand his emotion. But to say these people are just being herded up for no good reason is ludicrous. Compare them to the Jews in Nazi Holocaust time? No. All right, let's go to Lenny and Pittman. Lenny, first in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Lenny, afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Dom. Always a pleasure. I've been waiting 4 years to say this. I think DOGE is nothing more than peaceful protest against wasteful spending. I don't see Elon Musk burning down any buildings, setting buildings on fire, turning over cars, throwing rocks at police. It sounds like peaceful protesting to me.
I hear you. Well, look, I put it, I'm still on record. I'm writing my column about it this week, Lenny. It's theft. I don't care what anyone says. They stole from us. That's what it is. And I want us to get some of it back.
Look at New. I'm from New Jersey, and let me tell you something. Our governor couldn't tell you what he did the last 5 days. You know, right? So he's a goofball. Then you got Bob Menendez steals all kinds of gold bars and stuff like that. Is anybody asking him where he got them from?
I'd like to see
New Jersey. Really, I'll tell you the truth. That this state, do you know, he just came forward. He wants $3 million from taxpayers to teach children how to keep your cell phone at home. You know how I would be taught? My dad would say, "Don't take your phone to school." Period.
Well, I have some more on the Jersey.
$3 million, like we got it.
Yeah. Lenny, do you have a list?
I absolutely do. Every man can relate to this, the good old honeydew list.
All right. That is a great one, Lenny. Yep. That's a very good list. Certainly can relate to that. That might even be out of the box, a strong contender. So Hit us with your all-time list here. That's what we're looking for today. Yeah, Roe has my, it's endless. You know, the thing is, it's never blank. You never get to the end of it. You never can completely do that.
That's the point of it.
Last night, we had this thing. We have this shelf. I think Dan has seen it in the basement where we store the Christmas stuff. It's way back in the laundry room and all that.
Yeah.
Wanting to stuff more stuff up there. There are pipes and all kinds of things there. No, you can't put more up there.
But that's the shelf to just put stuff
yeah,
on.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's the Christmas stuff. And it's this big, fat box that gets fatter every year. That get more that's stuffed into.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The stuff is stuffed on top of each other. And then you stuff it into that. Oh, God. I put it off until almost the end of February this year. But last night was the comeuppance. All right.
Oh,
hit us with that list. You can jump on board with that. And the whole thing with the federal workers. Now, Moms for Liberty is coming up. You just heard that woman in Monmouth County go after Moms for Liberty, the union head. We'll ask her to come on and tell us why we shouldn't be concerned about this. But a group similar to Moms for Liberty, Parents Defending Education, they just came out with this big list of the money that these people stole from us during COVID. In other words, these school districts across the country got gazillions of dollars they were supposed to spend to get kids back in school and to get them high-quality tutoring. Remember all that? The $200 billion, I think it's even more. Henry and I told you yesterday, and I researched them, the Santa Ana School District, it was closer to $500,000 they spent on graduation at Angel Stadium, and I think it was only in the parking lot, according to one report. They wanted to give the kids a grand send-off after all that they had been through due to COVID. Well, these are the people that kept them out of school. These are the people that provoked this. And they're spending $500,000 of taxpayer funding, federal funding, for COVID. Another took about 100 educators to Caesar's Palace, luxury rooms, for seminars on COVID. If that's not theft, what the heck is theft? I have people continue out on Twitter, stop the theft stuff. Who are you kidding? That's not theft. What would you call it? Sending people with COVID money whose express purpose was to get us back on our feet to have a fancy seminar at Caesar's Palace in Vegas for like 100 people. That's not theft. What is it? Well, it's not money. They keep telling me.
Money isn't real. Who
cares? It was already spent. So what? Yeah, the money's not real. It's just on paper. Another spent it on pool passes for people. And in New Jersey, I tracked it down, and I'll give you more details on it. $450,000 spent by the football team players and the stuff that they were ordering, Red Lobster, yes, lobster, stuff like that, from DoorDash. And the one guy, a couple of days, ordered it from Florida. Then he ordered it from New York.
That's just...
And it's defended by Rutgers saying, well, we're pouring a lot of money into the football program because we have to succeed. How's that going? You tell people, if we can tell enough people in Jersey that they think Rutgers football should be able to go to Red Lobster with DoorDash, even if they're in other states, rather than they provide some kind of training table there or do something at the school, you tell them what was spent on that. That might be enough in the governor's race. It was stolen. That's the word. They stole it. Now, criminally, could you go after it? I'd like to see an attempt. There's got to be a line where you can't just take that kind of money and throw it away. One school district put an ice cream truck, bought a Mr. Softy truck and filled it up in order to cheer the kids up. With the COVID money that was put in for tutoring. What the heck? That kid's dumb anyhow. Give him a milkshake. You know, he's going to be working Mr. Softy someday. So it's a on the job training. How did these school boards, how did these people get away with it? Because they just did until now. But it doesn't mean this is not theft. All right, coming up, one of the co-founders of Moms for Liberty to break all this down. A little bit later, we'll talk with Dan Abrams, who has a great show on Reels, on patrol, actually seeing what police go through every day. It's a pretty hit show. He'll be here at 1:30. All that straight ahead, Talk Radio 1210. All right, Tom G, your Dano show. Let me clarify a point on the federal workers. Yeah, we're talking about, are they good workers, and is there a need for all those workers at these jobs? To be clear, yes, that's true. All right, list. Well, on the top of our list, as far as a cultural reference, in other words, we played you that woman in Monmouth County who's a union head, math teacher, attacking moms who don't like males and female sports. And of course, who did she reference? Moms for Liberty, right away. Yeah, Moms for Liberty, this is for you, I think she said. Joining us is the co-founder of Moms for Liberty, visiting fellow to lead the new parental rights initiative at the Heritage Foundation, Tiffany Justice, on Talk Radio 1210. Tiffany, thank you, and I'm glad we have the official title. You and I are in sync. There's no more powerful thing that summarizes it. Maybe it's even more than school choice, because school choice is wrapped under parental rights.
Yeah, parental rights is the biggest civil rights issue of our day. I truly believe that. If the government thinks that they know better than parents on how to raise children, how to make decisions about children, then there really is no future for us in America. And so we've got to put the government back in the tiny box it belongs in, and parents can do that by standing up for their kids.
So, Tiffany, we saw this list. I just saw it on Fox yesterday. It was out for a couple of days, where another parents group put together, and you guys probably have too at some point, COVID spending, DOGE looking at this, and just unconscionable things, hard to believe. What's your sense of how they got away with spending $500,000 on a graduation at Anaheim Stadium, or a Mr. Softy truck, or going to Caesars? You would think somebody would have caught it by now.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, let's give a big shout out to Parents Defending Education, which is a group that started from the same time that Moms for Liberty started. And they really dig down. They've got some great researchers, and they really dig down into how schools were spending money. So you mentioned ESSER funds. That's the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Program that was instituted during COVID. It was intended to help schools to address pandemic-related challenges. We would think maybe that would mean learning, right? The fact that kids weren't in classrooms. They weren't learning, but no. Lots of things, as you said, spent on hotel stays in Las Vegas, apparently, ice cream truck purchases. I mean, the schools have the money, and they are told to spend it, and they spent it on all kinds of things with very little oversight.
Yeah, again, I'm asking legally, though, you know, is it your sense, my sense, the word I've been using, I'm in the camp that thinks, and you may differ, we've had reasonable difference, Tiffany, but I think we ought to get some of that $5,000 back that Elon Musk and some others talked about. I don't have confidence in a lot of these Republicans other than Rand Paul and actually paying down the deficit. I just think it's lip service.
Well, I'll be honest, as a mom of four kids, I really would like to bring the deficit down. I'd really like for there to be a brighter future for our children. So if we could count on politicians to do that, then I really don't want a check in the mail. I'd like to see our government right itself and get moving in a better direction. But it's not, you know, people say, is this fraud? The school districts were given money, and they basically were told spend it on pandemic-related, issues, and there was no oversight. As I said, and so DOGE, I guess, now has said that people will have to turn in receipts before they'll get reimbursement. That'll definitely stem the way that people are spending money. I know there are still like $4 billion left or something of COVID-era spending that hasn't been spent. As far as I'm concerned, it should all be clawed back. Because the truth is that the school districts aren't spending the money well. They're not spending it in service of students. And ultimately, Dom, and I think you and I do agree on this point, parents should be the one who are in the driver's seat when it comes to making decisions for their kids. And we have just seen time and again that government does not serve our children well, certainly not in education. And we need parents to really be the ones who are holding districts accountable or making better decisions for their kids.
Yeah. So, again, we couldn't get them under fraud, your view, because there was no oversight here. And again, It's that's why I still stand, though, of I want the money back. But I think it's a great challenge. You're in Washington, or at least Heritage Foundation occasionally. What's the proper perspective, Tiffany, on federal workers, you know, our look at them and what's going on? Some of them, I think, actually were working at the job. Maybe we don't need as many.
Well, I don't really think there is a problem in returning an email. I don't think that, I think the idea that somehow it's harder to return an email than it is to not, you know, be, hey, I'm here, I'm working, I work on classified information, don't really feel comfortable sharing it with you, but just want you to know I got this email and I'm working hard. I don't really know what the problem was with returning that email, and I think we have a huge issue. So in general, you know, I've said to you this to you before. Public education is not supposed to be a jobs program, but that's what we've seen it become.
Right.
When I was there for Linda McMahon's confirmation, I heard the senators talking a lot about, oh, all of the jobs that are going to be lost, all of the employees that are going to be infected. You know, it's really supposed to be about kids and education. So I think when we look at the federal government and all these different employees that we have, the fact that we have people that may be dead and we don't know and they're still collecting a paycheck or haven't come into the office is unacceptable. And I just really applaud Elon and President Trump for looking at this from a business perspective. And any business that you run, this would be completely unacceptable. And if the government wants to run efficiently, they better start adopting some better business practices.
Well, that's the sound print, without a doubt. I don't see how you can differ with that. Now, we saw the showdown. Look, I liked the Maine governor standing toe-to-toe with the president, and she called him on see you in court. But then he said, that'll be an easy one. There was nothing she could say after that. But Tiffany, the New Jersey Interscholastic said they're not going to change their policy despite this executive order. They said you can say whatever gender you want as long as you say that before the first practice, say for a girls' sports. You could be 6'8", 300 pounds. You can play against girls. Is it realistic that the federal government, the Trump administration, is actually going to take these people on the Maine, New Jersey? We have hundreds of them across the country.
Yeah, I think it's very realistic to think that. I think from President Trump's reaction to Governor Janet Mills of Maine, basically, like she said, see you in court. And he was like, great, that'll be an easy one. And then I'm going to make sure that you don't win elections anymore. And I think that's the bottom line, right?
Like,
you know, we really do need to start putting our money where our mouth is and primarying these people when they want to run again for different offices and getting them out, getting better candidates in. But yeah, I think honestly, I think he's really ticked off about it. The first time that I ever spoke with the president about the fact that men were competing in women's sports, he just couldn't believe it. He had watched the Olympics. Mm-hmm. He had seen the two athletes that were men who had beat women. He thought it was just atrocious. You know, he loves watching sporting events and he likes to see well-matched sporting events. The idea that a man would compete against a woman in that way, he just thinks is ridiculous. And so, yeah, I think this is a hill that the president is willing to die on. He is going to follow through. And I think, you know, we saw the DOE, the Office of Civil Rights, issue that investigation against Maine the day after Governor Janet Mills made that comment. So I would say New Jersey and their governor and other states are not far behind. And you know, honestly, again, Charlamagne the God was talking about this. Bill Maher was talking about it recently. You have a lot of Democrats. James Carville was talking about it, that are saying this boys and girls sports, men and women's bathrooms issue is a losing issue for Democrats. So I will just say once again that you're going to see a lot of Democrats turning the tide on this issue, because otherwise they're going to lose elections and they know it.
I'll take the bet on the other side, though. Significant numbers of them. I know what you said, and I'm in agreement. It's an 80-20 and the 80s gaining. They're afraid of their base, or they agree with it. Kamala Harris was the best example. How in the world, she pivoted on everything else, do they not pivot? You think they will, though?
Yes, I absolutely think they will. But I do think it shows the real grip that the very fringe far left has on the elected officials. That means that's where the money's coming from. The elected officials care about two things, money and power. And so, you know, but once the people with the money realize that it's not going to be something that they can push and that they're going to lose elections over it, the money will stop going to those political candidates and they'll stop supporting it. So I do think that we're going to see a turning of the tide on the issue. It's just a matter of time. And ultimately, this will get decided in the courts. You know, I mean, even with the gender affirming care stuff, we've got lawsuits that are going to make just gender affirming care, the idea of this care or so-called care, totally untouchable for insurance companies, and that'll suck up and dry up any of the want and need and the services that are available.
What's the next big thing you're going to do with this parental rights initiative at Heritage? What's the big thing?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is going to continue to make sure that parents know their rights. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure COVID never happens again, that when the government or tries to tell parents that somehow they don't have the ability to direct the upbringing of their children, that parents say no. So you bring up New Jersey and this Interscholastic Association. Parents need to say no. If you're listening to this and you are a parent, do not let your daughter play on a sports team or against a team that has boys. Rally the other parents around you and just say, no, we refuse to do this. You know, I know that there are going to be a lot of different things that are happening at the Department of Education and other agencies to really let citizens to have their voices heard, to be able to tell the government what's happening in their local community so that we can fight back against it and uphold laws like Title IX. And so it's really sharing information, getting people to either work together or to work in their own sphere of influence to share the information that they know is happening in other places, whether that means winning elections, better, more efficient processes when it comes to government, or just standing up for your rights and freedoms and not letting tyrannical leaders trample on them.
Parting question for you. How does it feel? Before you came on, we referenced this union head, female math teacher, calling out Moms for Liberty and this whole issue of gender. Yeah, what's Moms for Liberty going to do it? It's a cultural reference, Moms for Liberty. Sometimes they say your name, too. You got to feel pretty good that that marker's there. They don't say a million other groups. They say Moms for Liberty. We're going to come after you.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love that we're all living rent-free. They should be worried about Moms for Liberty. They should be worried about every parent. Moms stood up around the country and said enough. Again, we put our money where our mouth is. Elon put a tweet up the other day that says you have to, you know, act decisively to win, or you have to win decisively. That's what moms stood up to do. We're just not taking any of this garbage. These union leaders know we have their number, and their lies aren't going to work on us anymore. We will not be silenced to protect a failing system. And Moms for Liberty is just, it's just been, you know, the honor of my life to be at the organization. And honestly, Dom, to meet the most brave, smart, incredible women across the country and bring them together. So very, very awesome part of American history. And, you know, we were able to help get President Trump elected. So they should be scared.
Absolutely. Tiffany, thank you. Thanks as always.
Thanks, Dom.
Tiffany Justice here on Talk Radio 1210. Coming to your calls next, 855-839-1210. Let's talk about Dr. Robert Bentz, my dentist. That's the headline, really. I know February is American Heart Month, and I know that Dr. Bentz talks about what he does as part of overall care during Healthy Heart Month. You know, cardiac care, exercising, eating healthily, heart-friendly foods, mindful of your dental health. Now, that one stems from the fact that plaque can build up and can actually lose to bacteria growth, which sometimes can lead to conditions like endocarditis or arteriosclerosis. Now's a great time to schedule an appointment with board-certified prosthodontist, the Dom Dentist. That's Dr. Robert Bentz at the Bentz Dental Group. Dr. Bentz has worked with thousands of patients to not only improve their smiles and confidence, but to get them great overall health through their dental health. So if you have concerns about your health, oral health, dental health, call Dr. Bentz. Get a great dentist. Get started right now at this point. Call him at 610-272-6949 or visit him at Bentz, B-E-N-T-Z, dentalgroup.com to set up a consultation. Get that initial evaluation. Bentz Dental Group, say it with a smile, but call them 610-272-6949. All right, Dom time. Welcome in. So Tiffany Justice doesn't agree with me about, we agree on a lot of things, but paying down the deficit. I was kind of surprised with that. You know, we were talking about not going to do it. A couple people out here, too, that I really respect, they said, we're more for paying down the deficit. I still think it's a vast majority that say, now give the American people back something out of this. But it's quite interesting. The contention around the money they're following. The one thing I can't understand is that people are saying, well, they're not finding anything. It's already spent or some crazy. It's money. Where do you want to, what do you want to do with it? If you want to take it away from the deficit, well, then it's money too. Right, Henry? You're feeling all these
I maintain that like just money is just, it doesn't matter. It doesn't exist. Like, who knows at this point? It's spent, it's not spent. Like, I'm sure we can recuperate it somehow, but don't ask me how.
Right.
No account. I'm no forensic accountant.
Right. That's what you're fielding the calls here and the wild economic theories that you get. Man, let's go to Alan. This is a pretty good one. Maybe we should have taken it off in Hamilton. Alan, good afternoon.
Hello. Good to hear from you. Schindler's List is what I chose. A large number of people's lives were saved, but still the man himself was sad because he couldn't save more.
Yeah, exactly. Schindler's List, of course, the film.
What? What did I do?
How could you?
How could I what?
You were making out during Schindler's List?
That's a pretty good Seinfeld. Yeah,
yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty gauche to be doing that. Scott in Mount Laurel on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Dom. I think the debate we have to have more than whether the workers are good or bad is whether the jobs are worthwhile and whether we should have them. You know, what the core debate really is, should we be paying money? We know we all agree we should pay money for things we need that we can't do ourselves, mm-hmm. like military and courts and all that. But when are we going to reduce the things that basically, like education is a perfect example, but there's so many others, that we send money to the federal government only so they can send part of it back to us and tell us what to do with it.
Yeah, well put, and Scott, here, to your point, that's why I get a little nervous because, look, I can't definitively say the cutbacks with the FAA, with flying and all that. I get a little nervous with that. Apparently, they're non-essential. But, you know, for safety's sake and overall for a period of time, I'd go slow on that. But most of these others, like USAID, and any, the IRS and any number of these things. Yeah, these are legit. We don't need that number of people.
Exactly. I mean, the reality is that we should be paying for things that we all need in common. The idea that we should, I mean, I can't even imagine. And the other thing about, branch on to one other thing, about jobs, that we're losing jobs. I mean, when did we get to a point where we're supposed to pay people because we don't want them to lose their job, not because they're doing something that is of value to the country or productive?
Well,
I mean,
that's
it's like
right.
Paying somebody who's on
right, they're ridiculous. They would tell you all federal workers are valuable to the country, and we know the arrogance, we know the duplicity, the duplication of jobs, and all. It's there. There's no doubt.
I mean, it's like paying someone who's unemployed to paint your house that doesn't need it, and you keep paying them, paying.
Right.
Yeah, I guess they keep painting it, but what good is it? You know, I swear, I think some of these people that are defending these jobs, if this were the year 1900 or 1910, they would want us to subsidize the horse and buggy business because they were losing jobs because there were cars.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. And again, it's traumatic because for what, 70, 80, 100 years, we've had this with the federal government. They're arrogant with it. They control our lives. That's the other thing. These are jobs of consequence where if you have
Absolutely.
To deal with them, they put you through the ringer. They're on government dime. You're using your own time, lawyers, and money.
And that's so true. And then the thing is, like with Trump having to threaten to withhold the federal funds, I mean, I agree with him doing that, but we really need to examine, like, why do we have so many federal funds that are going to so many places that can be controlled? And granted, we're just playing the left's game of using the federal money, you know,
yeah.
to do what we think they should do. But we're really in a situation, where did we get in this mentality and how do we get out of it?
It's incrementalism, and that's how it has to be taken apart. All right, Scott, what's your list?
Well, before he went rogue political,
yeah.
it was a big thing, certainly in my generation growing up, to tune in and see David Letterman's top 10 list.
Absolutely. Then when he went rogue, Dom Giordano's big list replaced it. We gotta go back to that. If you have a suggestion, since this, I haven't done a big list in a while.
Yeah, today would have been the day.
Yeah, I'll see if I can do one off the top of my head. Coming up, President Trump's favorite show tunes. There's another one in the news. We know about Village People. I'm counting that as a show tune. But this is a Broadway hit, and it's gone viral because the Army Chorale, men and women who sing at the Governor's Ball, did something from a play. I'll tell you what the play is. And people are saying they were doing it to mock Trump. I don't think so. I think Trump likes his stuff. It's his playlist. Things like the one we're going to play here. You'll see what that is coming up. But your calls, too, at Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.